welcome to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. Well, I was thinking this morning about what Paul told young Pastor Timothy. Pastor Timothy tended to be a little timid and fearful, and Paul reminded him through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, a spirit of fear, but of power and love and discipline." Let me ask you, are you fearful today as we face a collapsing culture? Fearful for your children? Fearful for your job? For your future, for our country? Hey, God has placed us on the earth for such a time as this, and God's people need to stand up and be counted for the Lord and be faithful, brave, courageous, bold soldiers of the cross. Well, it is my privilege this morning to welcome to the program a man that I greatly admire. I've learned so much from him in reading his books. Dr. Erwin Lutzer is pastor emeritus of the Moody Bible Church. He served as senior pastor there for 36 years. He is a tremendous author and speaker, and he is not afraid to stand up and be counted. Dr. Lutzer, thank you for coming on Real Truth for Today.
I'm so glad to be with you, Jeff, and you've laid out the situation very accurately. We're living at a time when the culture is collapsing. And by the way, we didn't go looking for a culture war. The culture war came to us, and the people who are listening right now are up against that culture every single day.
Well, you've written a lot on these subjects to help strengthen the church. I read The Church in Babylon, was blessed by that. I read We Will Not Be Silenced, was blessed by that. So tell me, Dr. Lutzer, what's different about this book, No Reason to Hide?
I wrote No Reason to Hide as I looked at the culture and realized all of the situations in which the church finds itself. And even though it may cover some of the same material as We Will Not Be Silenced, most of the chapters are entirely new because we're dealing even now with a different culture. For example, I deal with forced ideological conformity, the cancel culture, the war against white supremacy, the triumph of the self in our culture. All of these ideas. And then perhaps one of the longest chapters is on diversity, equity, and inclusion. And my purpose there, Jeff, is to show that actually this works against us rather than for us when it comes to race relations. And then I answer questions like, how do we answer it? You know, you're living on stolen land, so we should feel guilty as Americans. Propaganda, a chapter on the Christian left. Gender neutrality, and so forth. So I wrote the book, No Reason to Hide, to help believers and help all of us think through not only what is happening, but also how to respond. And each chapter ends with a testimony of someone who stood against the culture, and therefore, in that sense, is an example for us to do the very same.
Amen. Well, okay, I was thinking about the fact that you pastored Moody Church for 36 years. You've been pastor emeritus how long now?
Since 2016, which would make, 6 years or so.
6 years. So if you were to think about your preaching 30 years ago, and you were to be a man 40 years old today, how would your preaching be different today than it was 30 years ago? Or would it be any different?
You know, Jeff, my policy is I've never endorsed a political candidate or a political party because that involves a lot of stumbling blocks along the way. But what I would do is what I did years ago, and that is preach on the issues. And I think that pastors have the responsibility of helping their congregations think through these issues. And, you know, politics is very important. Just ask the people in North Korea, ask the Christians in Nazi Germany whether or not politics is important. But you and I would agree that it is not all important. Of course, we always lead with the gospel. We always become involved in these matters redemptively because we're interested in pointing people to Christ. But at the same time, these are cultural issues that can't be ignored. I think that pastors need to be able to speak about the issues. I'm talking about transgenderism. Now, even though I transitioned in 2016, already at that time, I preached on transgenderism because it was coming into the culture because of Bruce Jenner. And then also, you know, same-sex marriage, I preached on that. So these are issues that everyone should speak about, and even racial issues. You know, speaking about diversity, equity, and inclusion, that chapter, I point out, Jeff, it is so critical for us to realize that these ideas keep driving us apart. And that's the whole intention. The whole intention of critical race theory is to make sure that we see one another in oppositional terms, that we are constantly blaming and shaming, shouting back and forth. The church has a message to give to the world. Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, he says, in Christ, there's neither Jew nor Greek, bond or free, Scythian, barbarian, but we are all one. Now, the Jews and the Greeks had all kinds of differences. The barbarians, the Scythians, they were marauders running throughout the country. And yet there was a transcendent unity. And what our churches need to do is to think of ways to pull together. But critical race theory keeps tearing apart everything that Jesus died to bring together. And I go through, and you know, we could talk about any chapter of the book, but I go through and show what really happens when you have these kinds of ideas of diversity, equity, and inclusion. So pastors need to preach about these things. These are issues that the people in the pew are facing every single day. A chapter on propaganda, for example. How do we discern it? What's happening? How does it work? And so forth. I deal with all of those kinds of ideas in the book, No Reason to Hide, Standing for Christ in a Collapsing Culture.
Well, I appreciate the fact that that you do stand up and you speak on these things. Dr. Lutzer, as you talk about the Christian left, this idea that, you know, don't bring politics into the church and don't, you know, if I want to be a vote for a Democratic candidate, that's my business. That doesn't have anything to do with my walk with the Lord. That kind of thinking. How do you address that and what do you think about that?
Well, first of all, regarding the Christian left, and that's a chapter in the book, I say that there are two ways that we are submitting to the Christian left, or some churches are. One way is through the racial lens. I tell the true story of a church that was unified in Christ, worshiping together, and then after the death of George Floyd, they began to divide because from the pulpit now, whiteness was condemned. Not racism, but whiteness. Now, suddenly, we're judging one another not by the content of our character, but by the color of our skin. And so you had this division racially that was in the church. And as a substitute for the true gospel, you have social justice. Now, social justice is the responsibility of every Christian. What does the Lord your God require of you but to do justice? But I point out that social justice is entirely different. It has a whole constellation of issues related to it. Critical race theory, socialism, queer theory, gender theory, all of that is wrapped together in what is called social justice. And churches leave the gospel and they go into that. And then the second reason, and I've already hinted at it, a false view of love. Mm-hmm. And as a result of that, same-sex marriage is being accepted. Now, people need to understand that love can be evil. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, they didn't stop loving. They just started to love the wrong things. Lovers of pleasure, lovers of God, lovers of self, lovers of money. So we can love evil. And the world says, love is love. You can marry whoever you love. So once again, churches submit to the culture. They give the culture everything that the culture wants. We have three kinds of churches. We have those that are complicit. They go along with the culture, give the culture everything that it wants. There are those that are complacent. I put most evangelical churches in that category. They're opposed to the culture, but they never speak against it. And then you have those that are courageous who say, you know, the gospel has certain implications. We have to make sure that we help our people think through what our response should be in this world. And that's the way I think I see the submission of the Christian left. It's a submission to the culture.
Dr. Lutzer, if you had to put the American church just in a general box in one of the letters to the seven churches, where would you put it?
I think I would put it to the church at Sardis, strengthen what remains, Jesus said. And the reason I'm doing that, Jeff, is because in that passage, you'll notice Jesus said, you have a name that you're alive, but actually you're dead. But then he does go on and say this, but there are still some in Sardis who have not soiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. And I see the church that way. In many respects, we are dead, but on the other hand, there are still faithful believers who are not submitting to the world, who are standing against the culture. And so that's why in the midst of all of this negativity, there is hope. And I think probably the church at Sardis, of course, everybody always thinks of the church at Laodicea. Mm-hmm. And that, of course, applies as well. Actually, you can find all seven of the churches in the evangelical church today.
Yes, you can. So I think Sardis is a great way to say where we are. Why do you think, this is bothersome to me, why do you think so many pastors seem to miss it? It's like, well, I don't want to talk about those things. That's controversial. I'm just going to preach the gospel. How do you think they justify not hitting head on these issues that are destroying people's lives?
Well, Jeff, I think the way this happens simply is because most pastors want their church to be known as nice. They want it to be welcoming. And they think that if they begin to introduce these issues, that there's going to be division. And I can understand that as a pastor. You're a pastor. You can understand that side of the equation. The problem is that niceness sometimes leads us to silence when we should speak. So it's very important that we understand that there is a balance here. What we need to do is to be nice, to be welcoming, to be loving even to those who don't love us, but at the same time, helping our congregations face the culture, because the culture is collapsing, and we need to be able to think through how to respond.
Amen. We're talking to Dr. Erwin Lutzer, Pastor Emeritus of the Moody Bible Church. We're talking about his new book, No Reason to Hide, Standing for Christ in a Collapsing Culture. This is a program for every Christian, for every pastor, so that we would stand up for Jesus as soldiers of the cross, that we would be willing to suffer hardship as good soldiers of Christ Jesus. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Jan Harper. If you're a pastor's wife, Come be encouraged and renewed as you share your challenges and stresses unique to pastors and their wives.
The AFA Pastors and Wives Fishbowl Retreat is returning October 18th through the 20th to Linden Valley Conference Center in Linden, Tennessee. The retreat is 3 days and 2 nights of relaxation and encouragement. Our host will be Pastor Bert Harper, Director of Marriage, Family, and Pastoral Ministries, and co-host of Exploring the Word on AFR, and his wife, Jan. And our special speakers will be Will and Miki Addison of Airing the Addisons on AFR. Lodging, meals, and materials are all included in your registration. But hurry, space is limited. Register today by calling 662-844-5036, extension 297, or at repairingthefoundations.net.
The AFA Pastors and Wives Fishbowl Retreat. We'd love to see you there.
To sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. That is the mission of the Christian Worldview Radio program. I'm host David Wheaton, inviting you to join us this Saturday morning at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, as we discuss all matters of life and faith from a decidedly biblical perspective. The Christian Worldview, Saturday mornings at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, right here on American Family Radio.
This week on Truth for Life, Alistair Begg takes a closer look at what happens when Jesus transforms a life. Find out how and why we're saved, and why it's important for us to remember what we were like before our conversion. Listen every day to Truth for Life with Alistair Begg.
Truth for Life, weekday mornings at 11:30 Central on AFR and online at AFR.net.
We live in a day when America's families are under attack like never before.
Buddy Smith, Senior Vice President of the American Family Association.
The war against biblical principles rages on numerous fronts. The internet, Hollywood, Washington, D.C., America's corporate boardrooms, and the list goes on. At American Family Association, we're committed to standing against the enemies of God, the enemies of your family. And we recognize it's an impossible task without God's favor and your partnership. Thank you for being faithful to pray for this ministry, to give financially, and to respond to our calls for activism. What you do on the home front is crucial to what we do on the battlefront. We praise God for your faithfulness, and may He give us many victories in the battles ahead as we work together to restore our nation's biblical foundations.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We're talking to Dr. Erwin Lutzer, Pastor Emeritus at the Moody Bible Church. He served there as the pastor for 36 years. He has a new book out, No Reason to Hide, Standing for Christ in a Collapsing Culture. Now, Dr. Lutzer, you talk about cultural Marxism in the book. Help us understand what that is. I think people are familiar with Marxism, but maybe they don't understand how cultural Marxism works.
Cultural Marxism is simply the idea that Marxism can be imposed in a country without a bitter revolution such as happened in China and Russia. The idea was that when those revolutions happen, the people hate their rulers. So the question is, how do you bring about a Marxist situation, a Marxist country, without that kind of backlash? Well, you do it institution by institution. You do it on tiptoe. You do it by capturing all of the power structures within a country. You do it by capturing law, by capturing the media, and especially capturing education, because after all, in a Marxist world, the education of young people and the education of children is too important a task to leave to the parents. The state must do that so that children are properly indoctrinated. And we certainly see that happening today in America. So it comes incrementally. That's the key word. And through socialistic principles and so forth, you can bring about a Marxist state. And then people will like it because they will see its benefits, and you won't have the kind of backlash that you had in other countries. So that's why it's called cultural Marxism. You capture the culture with Marxist ideas. And most people don't see how this permeates all of culture. Let's take, for example, the defund the police movement. Marx taught that the only reason why people commit crimes is because they are oppressed. If you take away their oppression, well, they'll live together in harmony, even without laws. So the idea is the police are the oppressors. So what we should do is to open the prisons and take away the oppression, and then people will live in harmony. Well, the simple fact is the biblical view of sin is the right one, namely that sin exists in every human heart. We are indeed left to ourselves evil, and that's why you have those who aren't oppressed at all who commit crimes. That's why you have repeated offenders. Even when the oppression is gone, the evil is still there. Marx's view of human nature is entirely different. And while I'm on the subject, both Marx and Lenin even spoke about this more clearly, perhaps, that they believed in the destruction of the nuclear family. Why? Mm-hmm. Because men oppressed their wives, parents oppressed their children, they took them to church, God was the ultimate oppressor, and therefore the family has to be dismantled. And furthermore, you cannot have family loyalty that overrides the loyalty you're to have to the state, to the ideological views of the state. So that's what cultural Marxism is. And once you understand it, when you look at American society, you can see it everywhere.
I was talking to a guest a day or two ago, and we were talking about the days of Noah. Oh, Michael Youssef, he was on Monday. We were talking about the days of Noah. Would you believe that we are either quickly approaching or already are in the days of Noah?
Well, in the days of Noah, there was only one righteous family. And as I hinted earlier, there still are a lot of true believers in America, a lot of strong families that are totally committed to stand against the culture and to do whatever is necessary. But generally speaking, yes, especially, this is now coming to mind, I think it's in the King James Version, where it says that all of the evil that they imagined to do, they did. That's a paraphrase, but that's the idea. Mm-hmm. That certainly is true today. And we have invented some brand new ways of sinning and evil that never existed during the days of Noah. You know, in the book we're talking about, my book, No Reason to Hide, one of the chapters has to do with gender neutrality. It has to do with transgenderism. Because what I want to help parents do is to think through, what do you do when your child comes home from school and says, you know, I think I'm trans? So there's a chapter there on that. There's also a chapter on our educational system. But all of that is in answer to your question about cultural Marxism. Destroy the family, make it so that children are able and willing to go along with the ideological streams of the culture. If necessary, turn their parents in and tattle on them if they hold to traditional views. And so this is the way in which Marxism is brought to us without a bloody revolution.
When you talk to pastors, and I know I've had the privilege of hearing you. I'm part of the Conservative Baptist Network. You spoke at our breakfast I guess it was 2 years ago. When you talk to pastors that may be asleep on these issues, they want to be liked. They want their church to be known as a loving place. They don't want to step on a landmine. How do you approach them in order to wake them up? What is your strategy to help them see, hey, now is not the time to be complacent. You're a watchman on the wall. You need to sound the alarm. How do you go about that, Dr. Lutzer?
Well, maybe in two ways. First of all, I challenge them with this question, and this is also in the book. Are we going to interpret the Bible through the lens of culture, which is what the Christian left is doing and the sleepy churches? Are we going to interpret the Bible through the lens of culture, or are we going to critique the culture through the lens of the Bible? That's really the issue, I think. And what pastors need to do is to say, I have a responsibility to critique the culture through the lens of the Bible. The other point that I make in the first chapter is that evil never retreats on its own. It only retreats when it is confronted by a superior force. So what we need to do is to realize that the Church of Jesus Christ has to be the standard by which we stand against the culture and help our people think through how this can be done. And we can do that and still, of course, witness. We can be loving. You know, in the book that we're talking about and the Christian left, I name a pastor, I won't over the air, but his name is in the book. In 2004, I think it was, he preached a message against same-sex marriage. Now he's being attacked for it, and he backs down and in effect says he was wrong and says, you know, I didn't mean to hurt anyone. The Bible never is intended to hurt people. Well, Brother Jeff, I have to say this, that God wounds in order that he might heal.
Yes.
He cuts people open before he sews them back together. And we should be loving. We should not preach judgmentally. That's another thing that some pastors do that I don't agree with. So we preach, though, with brokenness. We preach with humility. We are aware of our own sinfulness and our own penchant to do evil. But at the same time, we know that there is an offense to the cross. There is an offense to biblical morality. You think, for example, of what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 1. I can't imagine Paul later on rethinking what he wrote and saying to the church at Rome, I'm really so sorry that I was so strong against same-sex relationships. I should have known better. God loves everybody. No, he let it hang out there, and some people are going to be offended, but some people are also going to be convicted, and they're going to turn to God. So Amen. That's why it is so critical for us to not be judgmental on the one hand, but not be silent on the other, but to have the balance of truth and love. And the young generation has to be told that truth and love are not enemies. Mm-hmm. We can do both. We're called to do both. And God bless the pastor who is able to find that relationship between truth and love.
Yes, amen. Okay, so chapter 6, truth is never welcome in a pagan world. Will we be deceived by the language used by the propagandists? How, I know people struggle with, you get on Twitter or you read a news source, and in the back of your mind you're saying, is this fake news or is this true? How can we have confidence that what we're hearing is really the truth and not some slant on the truth?
Well, sometime you have me back on your program and we'll spend an hour talking about that. But here's what I want to say at first. I give 6 ways that language is used in propaganda. And one of the ways is, you know, there are speech codes in our university. I talk about one university where you're not to say the word freshman. You're not to say the word victim. You're not to say the word whatever. And it goes through, and then it says, if there's a barber shop in your area, don't say that he takes in walk-ins, because that might offend people who can't walk. Now, when you look at that, you have to ask yourself the question, what is going on? Is it the intention to elevate the discussion? No, it's to silence the discussion. Students are intimidated. They're afraid of a straightforward sentence. I mean, can you go into a restaurant and still ask for a menu? Or is that also a forbidden word? Or, you know, you're not supposed to say master bedroom. Okay. What about, can you say somebody mastered the subject? Nobody knows. That's why most students, even Christian students in our universities, self-censor themselves. Then the other way, and I'm only giving you two of six here, and then I'll talk more specifically about your question. Another way is to transfer ideas to psychological states. For example, you know, you're opposed to same-sex marriage. You're a homophobe. You're a bigot. If you believe, like I do, that there should be strong borders in the United States, then, of course, you are a racist. If you are opposed to abortion, it's because you hate women. In other words, if you disagree with me, see your therapist. So there isn't really any discussion of these issues without trying to use language that disparages people. Now, to your question about truth and the news, one of the things we have to teach our young people is that there's a great distinction between information and wisdom. And you can go online and you can find all this information. We live in an information age. But wisdom is something different than that. And what you need is, oftentimes, you need multiple opinions. You need time. For example, when it came to the vaccines, we were told that this was the scientific data, which much of which turned out to be false in the end. So you have to be careful. You have to understand the source. But in some instances, we may never have to make up our minds, or we may not have yet made up our minds conclusively. So we maintain an open mind, but it's a guarded open mind, because we know that there are ideas out there that are really destructive that are being pushed upon us. And, of course, you use labels. I quote Hitler, who, when he starved children, called it putting them on a low-calorie diet. So I say in the book, peel back the label. Black Lives Matter, of course Black Lives Matter, but peel back the label and find out what their organization really stands for. So we have to peel back labels to do investigation so that we find out what is really being said.
Yeah, that's exactly right. No Reason to Hide, Standing for Christ in a Collapsing Culture is the title of the book by Dr. Erwin Lutzer. And Dr. Lutzer, as we think about being courageous, we don't want to be complicit. Don't want to be complacent. We want to be courageous. I'm always drawn to the prayer of the apostles, where they said, Now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence, with all boldness, while you extend your hand to heal and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. That's a prayer God wants to answer. That's a prayer that we need to be praying as Christians. God, help me to be bold so that I can speak your word with all confidence, so that I can speak the truth in love. I don't want to be complicit. I don't want to be complacent. I want to be a courageous Christian. As God told Joshua, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We're talking to Dr. Erwin Lutzer. We'll be right back after the break.
AFA is no longer dependent on Facebook or YouTube to live stream our original programming. As of now, American Family Radio shows like Today's Issues, The Core, Airing the Addisons, and The Hamilton Corner are streaming live on the AFA streaming app. Independent live streaming is the next step as we come out from among them and separate ourselves unto the Lord. Search AFA Streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
American Family Studios was started back in 2011 as a way to advance the Christian worldview into an increasingly media-rich culture.
Media is like such a powerful tool to communicate the gospel. I love writing stories, getting in my office, and just thinking, how can we portray this concept of who God's character is? And to get to use the gifts that God has given me is really a joy.
AmericanFamilyStudios.net.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save the typical family $500 a month, and that's huge, but it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan, double. MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So yeah, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your healthcare. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. A very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
By the grace of God, American Family Association is making a difference.
Bert Harper, co-host of Exploring the Word.
And we want to continue to make that difference. God's called us to it, and we have set our face as a flint, like the prophets in the Old Testament, to stay true to God and His Word. So I want to encourage you to support the work here at American Family Association.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. A charitable gift annuity benefits you and helps ensure the AFA will impact America for generations to come. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345. The AFA Foundation, the Financial Stewardship Division of the American Family Association.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. We're talking to Dr. Erwin Lutzer about his new book, No Reason to Hide, Standing for Christ in a Collapsing Culture. Now, Dr. Lutzer, as it says in Romans 1, that God gives people over, just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved, reprobate mind, a mind that no longer functions. It seems that we're living in a culture where educated people don't have a mind that functions anymore. Men can't give birth, but we're told that they can. How do you make heads or tails out of what's going on with seemingly smart people being so stupid?
Well, first of all, let me say that George Orwell is quoted as saying, there are some ideas that are so stupid that only intellectuals believe them. And I want to speak about the issue that you raised, however, and that has to do with a child who comes home from school and says, I think I'm trans. And you're absolutely right. Everybody knows that men can't have babies too. But anyway, what do you say? One of the things that parents have to realize is that self-perception is not a reliable guide to who you are if left alone. you can go to a psych ward and you can meet someone who genuinely believes that he's Napoleon. And it's a genuine belief, but that doesn't mean that he is. And that's why you can meet a girl who says, I'm a boy. And by the way, this should make everyone weep. Here in Illinois, just last week, there's a girl who had a mastectomy, a healthy teenage girl, because she wants to be a boy. Yeah. Now just think, she's destroying all possibility of ever being a biological parent. She is still going to be a girl, and she goes through all these cosmetic changes as if that is going to change anything. Here's what happens, Jeff. A child is in the school. He sees pornography. He's taught that that which is abnormal is normal. I discuss this in the book because there's a book being used here in Illinois, but it's just horrible. Every kind of sexual perversion illustrated for children 10 to 16 years old. Okay, they see this. They know it's not normal. They're full of guilt. They're full of shame. And they say to themselves, you know why I have such emotional issues? It must be because I'm trans. Maybe I was born Bert, but now find Bertha, why indeed it's going to solve my problems. Of course, it solves no problem at all. And Ayn Rand was not a fan of Christianity, but she did say this, it's possible to avoid reality, but you can't avoid the consequences of avoiding reality. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's so important for parents to know how to respond to the child. You listen to the child. You hear the child's story, but then you help them to see the dangers of this. And, you know, speaking of the reprobate mind, which you referred to a moment ago in Romans chapter 1, this is the ultimate now. I do not know of any society, even during the days of Noah, that thought that a man could be a woman or a woman could be a man. This is a form, actually, of insanity. Children who think that they are trans are confused, and we have to help them untangle that confusion. And one out of about 30,000 may genuinely feel that they are, trans, may genuinely feel that way, and they need to be helped. But all of this contagion where 25% of the kids think they're trans, that's a cultural fad. It is a way of attracting attention, of being part of a persecuted group, because remember that in our society today, if you are oppressed, you have advantages that others don't have. That's why you have in the racial matters such oppression that is referred to, because oppression becomes the means of power. And what we need to do is to understand these issues. Now, also in the book, I discuss whether or not we should use a person's pronouns, preferred pronouns. The answer I give that some may disagree with is simply this, that if they want us to use a different name, that's fine because names aren't gendered. But we can't bow to pronouns. We can't call a he a she or the other way because that is against our conscience. It's against biology. It's against the way in which people have created them. And I feel so sorry for those at work who say that if you want to keep your job, you had better use somebody's preferred pronoun, even though it is blatantly wrong. So there's a point, Jeff, at which Christians are going to have to say, what is more important, my conscience, my integrity, or a job? It's coming to that mm-hmm. in the workforce.
If you pull out your crystal ball and look down into time, how long do you think it'll be before we start arresting pastors for preaching the truth?
Well, already you do have instances where the law is capturing people. You may be aware of something that just happened where a man who was outside an abortion clinic praying, somebody was getting into the face of his son, He pushed the man back. Mm-hmm. A SWAT team has arrested him. I don't know how long it's going to be, but I'll tell you this. We as pastors are being told we had better mind what we say, stay in our corner, and make sure that we do not speak publicly about the issues of ideology that are controlling our culture. I point out in the book that it used to be that you could get a job if you were competent. Now competency is not the important thing. It is whether or not you are in line with and you have loud enthusiasm for the controlling realities of our culture that have to do with sexuality and other such race and other such issues. So that's where we have come. And the question is whether or not we're going to be able to endure that with a sense of strength and conviction. For example, here at the Moody Church, a man who teaches in the public school system in Chicago told me, he was told, it is not enough if you simply tolerate same-sex marriage. If you don't celebrate it, you could lose your job. Now, if he loses his job, because that, after all, is a line in the sand, are we willing as a church to come alongside of him and say, we're going to stand with you through this? Just know that we're going to help you financially and in every way. So even this, Jeff, we're going to have to rethink the role of the church as we stand together with solidarity mm-hmm. as believers when we have these pressures that are coming against us. It's a whole new day. We've never been down this road before.
Mm-hmm. Well, so true. I'm looking at a quote from Joseph Goebbels where he says, truth is the mortal enemy of the lie, and thus by extension, the truth is the greatest enemy of the state. Obviously, he was the propaganda master for Hitler. I heard you, Dr. Lutzer, share a quote. I think you said it was from Voltaire. He who can get you to believe absurdities can get you to commit atrocities. Was that your quote, or was that Voltaire's quote?
Yeah, that is a translation from the French, Voltaire. Yeah, he who gets you to believe absurdities. And we're living at a time, you know, in the book, and we're talking about the book No Reason to Hide, which we're highlighting today, I point out that mathematics is believed to be a white science, and if you believe that there's only one right answer in math, you're a racist. I quote a man who teaches math at Princeton, and he is opposed to this idea, this woke idea, and he's written an article online entitled, There's No Such Thing as White Math. And he grew up in Romania under communism. And he says, I fear these woke theories more than I feared the communists, because at least the communists believed in objective truth that 2 plus 2 was equal to 4. I want to tell this story very quickly. In George Orwell's book, 1984, Winston is taken into a room, and he's told that 2 plus 2 is equal to 5, sometimes it's equal to 3, sometimes it's equal to both. Now, Jeff, I've often thought about that. The purpose was not to necessarily get him to believe that 2 plus 2 was 5, but the purpose was to make him comfortable to live by lies. And that's what our culture wants. They want us to be comfortable living by lies that we know are lies, they know are lies, but they want us to live by lies. And Solzhenitsyn, in his last speech before he left Russia, told the people, do not live by lies.
Mm. I mean, a society can't survive living on lies. A person can't survive if your life is just built on lies. Speaking of the lie, socialism is a total lie, and you have young people today that just think it's euphoria, it's utopia. When it's been proven to not work time and time and time again, why do you think that becomes the thing that so many young people, college professors and young people, gravitate to?
First of all, you have to remember ideas don't have to work in order for them to survive. They only have to sound good. And socialism sounds so good, where everyone finally is equal. But the reason it hasn't worked is it proves that socialism becomes a time when, let me put it this way, it is a paradise for parasites. Socialism collapses because of the fact that when people have free goods and services, they are not going to be involved in work, and we certainly see that already in America with all the money that the government is printing. And pretty soon, the pie, so to speak, that gets divvied up, the pieces are all gone, and the only thing left that the government can do is to print more money. And that's why socialism, if you've been in communist countries, I've been in a few myself, you always have this incredible inflation. Because the government, you see, in socialism, you don't own the money that you have. The government owns it, and they divvy it out in accordance with what they think is fair. And of course, isn't that amazing that the people who are in charge of the government, they line their pockets, and then whatever's left for the populace goes to them. It's a failed system. It's contrary to human nature. It's been demonstrably proven to be a disaster, but it sounds so good. You have all these rich people. I'm poor. Why can't I enjoy what they have without the ingenuity of working for it and so forth? And, you know, I read the book White Fragility, mm-hmm. and I again refer to it in my book. And the whole idea is that there should be equal outcomes. This is utter, total nonsense. It's contrary to human nature, contrary to experience, and people need to recognize that.
That's exactly right. No Reason to Hide, Standing for Christ in a Collapsing Culture is the name of the book. Dr. Erwin Lutzer is the author. I encourage you to get this book. I have been blessed by every single book I've read by Erwin Lutzer. Dr. Lutzer, I told you this. You won't remember this, but I told you this in Israel. I saw you in Israel at the Hotel Issus a few years ago, and I said, I read your book on prayer, and you had one prayer in there that I've latched onto. I pray it often. God, give me a passion for you that far exceeds my passion for anything else. And it has been such a blessing to me. Well, we have about 1 minute left. I want to ask you this question. If you are a prognosticator, where do you think America will be in the next 5 to 10 years?
Well, barring some intervention from God, we will discover that our freedoms have been shrunk, that Christianity will be told has to be confined to the human mind. That's what I was told in China in 1985. The guide there says, we have freedom of religion in China. People can be as free as they want within their own minds. Christianity will not be allowed to be lived out in the public square. But let us be faithful, Jeff. And that's why I wrote the book. Thank you so much for interviewing me today. No Reason to Hide, available, of course, on Amazon, ChristianBook.com, and elsewhere.
Amen. Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Always a pleasure. Well, you've been listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. I look forward to being with you tomorrow. Hey, remember the two words, shine and share. Shine for Christ and share what great things the Lord has done for you and how He's had mercy on you, and God will use you. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.